Hey, good stuff. Thank you, Tyler and choir, orchestra. Thank you. Great, great job. I think it was that one wag said to Baptist to be the first to be there because the dead will rise first. Amen. But I'm going, aren't you? Amen. I'm going on that trip. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mark your calendar. 8 weeks, September 8 is coming. September 8 is our Bring a Friend Sunday. And for the next 7 weeks, I'm going to be preaching about the life encounters of Jesus and when he invited people to come and follow him. And just as Jesus invited people, so you should be inviting people. So mark that down. We're here in the middle of the summer, but it won't be long. You need to be making those connections and getting ready for Bring a Friend Sunday. We'll promote in the middle of August, but then when we get to September, we're going to have a great evangelistic harvest day. I've asked Alicia Williamson Garcia to be our special music guest that day, and she'll be here and sing down glory, and you'll want to hear her, and she's one of our special friends over in Mobile, and she'll be singing, helping us that day, and I'll be preaching. So you be here on September 8th, and don't come by yourself. Bring a friend. We're going to look at these seven encounters in the next few weeks, and we begin today with Nathanael. Nathanael, a moral man, comes to Christ. We find it in John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 43 and reading through verse 51. You follow along as I read in this early chapter and early beginning of the ministry of Jesus, where the Bible says, "And the next day," that is the day after he had dealt with Andrew and he dealt with Simon Peter, then the next day he purposed to go into Galilee and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Well, here's a great question. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." You know that phrase, if you've read your Bible for many years, as "no guile" out of the King James Version. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Nathanael. You only find him five times mentioned in John. He's not mentioned in any of the other Gospels, the synoptics of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But most believe he had another name in the synoptics. He was Bartholomew. Bartholomew, Nathanael, being the same person. Bartholomew really was not a personal name. But Nathanael, Gift of God, was his name given to him. Bartholomew, it's one who stills the waters. It's not a personal name given, but one that personified his father and maybe his grandfather. Bartholomew and Nathanael, we find this man. And when you study him, his beliefs and his background and his behavior reveal to us a genuine moral man, a good man. I talk to people about Christ, and I hear this again and again. Well, I'm a good man. You know, Pastor, I've not killed anybody. I've lived with my wife all my life. When it comes to stacking my life up against others, I'm a moral man. I don't steal. I give money. I help the poor. Why, even these guys on the side of the road, when I feel like it, I even give a dollar out the window. I see somebody in need, I help them. Pastor, I'm a moral man. Do you know today that Olive Baptist Church, and thank God for it, is filled with good men and women. I mean good people, upstanding citizens. I mean when they call you for jury duty, you go. They don't have to come hunt you. And those of you that are over the age where you don't have to go, some of you still go. And when we're looking for volunteers in the community, you get involved. This was Nathaniel. His behavior, his beliefs, he was out of a religious background. He read the Old Testament. But something was still missing in Nathaniel's life. Now, I've prayed this week, and there are some good men who sit in this service week by week by week, and you listen to this preacher, and yet, if your life number were called today, you would go out good and lost without Christ. Because the Bible says that your goodness, your righteousness is like filthy rags in comparison to the glory of the Christ. Being good is good, but it is not good enough. This is Nathaniel, a moral man, a man you'd want for your brother, your daddy, your friend. But something was drastically missing in this religious good man's life. You know, it seems like most of the testimonies we hear in church, you know, I was a drunkard or an addict, and you know, I beat my wife, and we were divorced, and I've been married, all this stuff so many times, and I come out of a train wreck background, and Jesus said, well, praise God, I love those testimonies, but let me tell you, the good man is a train wreck too, without the righteousness of Jesus. And for a man to say, I realize my goodness falls short, it brings him to the cross and he cries out for saving grace. I want you on September 8th to find the best people that are lost in this town you can find. I want you to bring them to Olive Baptist Church on Bring a Friend Day. You don't have to go down in the gutter and find somebody and bring them with their dog standing on the street corner. Though you can bring those people too. They got to leave their dog outside, but they can come in. Anybody would be welcome, but I'm telling you, good men are also fair game for the gospel. Nobody preaches about this very much. Good men need the gospel, and the world needs good men that have found the gospel. What happened to Nathaniel? I'll show you in his life. Number one, there was in Nathaniel's life the influence of a friend. Of a friend, Philip. The Bible says in this text, in verse 43, that Jesus found Philip. Thank God. Whoa. How would you like to have Jesus lead you to faith in Christ? What a soul winner he must have been. And Jesus found Philip and called him and said, follow me. And Philip sold out. And the next day, Philip, who was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew, he found Nathanael. And look what he said. He first of all made a proclamation. And he said, Philip, listen. We have found him. Who did you find?
We have found the one that Moses in the law and also the prophets been writing about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of John. He's the Messiah. Listen, Nathanael, we found him. We've been looking. You've been reading your Old Testament, Nathanael. You've been looking. I've been looking. And I found him. He found me. I've trusted him. He saved me. I'm different. Nathanael, we found him.
Oh, thank God for the proclamation. Now, let me tell you, if you're going to be a friend to somebody, you need to get around to the place of telling them about the Christ. You need to proclaim it. You need to tell them. And he makes the proclamation.
Now, don't be surprised when your good friends don't embrace your gospel quickly. Nathanael asked a question. You see, he's a good man outwardly, but there's some prejudice deep down in his heart. And he asked this question, why? Jesus from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, why would he ask that? For two reasons he would ask that question. Number one, Nazareth was the town, of course, of Christ, where he was from, and it was a stopping point on the military and the merchant highway. As the military would travel, they would often spend the night in Nazareth. And they would wind up at Trader John's. And stuff would happen. Also, the merchants. And they would wind up at a dark place. And Nazareth had this reputation of being a place where scoundrels came. G. Campbell Morgan said about Nazareth, it was rotten at its core. Nathanael said, why? Can anything good come out of that? But now there was a second reason. You see, in John 21, 2, we find that Nathanael was from Cana, which is close to Nazareth, but a rival town. And we know about rivals. For Nathanael to say, can anything good come out of Nazareth because I'm from Cana, it would be like somebody from Milton saying, can anything good come out of Pace? Now do you understand? It's the rivalry that's close and next door and we live together. And I know these people. And I want you to notice what Philip said. He not only gave a proclamation of who Jesus was, he then gave an invitation. He didn't argue it. Let me tell you, friend, you'll never argue someone to Christ. Now you ought to have your apologetics in order, and you'll see the front of your worship guide today that we've got the School of Tyrannus that's coming, and apologetics, and we're going to equip you and help you, and that's rolling out here in August. We've been working hard on it. Dr. Lewis will help us with that, and we're going to move forward. But let me tell you, you will never, ever, you just hear your, you will never argue someone to Christ. You may win their mind, but only Jesus can win their heart. And Philip says, come and see. Just come over and look. Come and see. It's amazing what will happen if you will just get people to the gospel. Just come and see. I talked to a gentleman this week. I asked him about his salvation experience. He said, Pastor, I was a student in a college in North Carolina, and he said, I sold Bibles with the Southwest Book Company one summer, and he said, I did rather well, and you meet these guys all the time that sell door to door in the summer, and they knock on your door, and it's a great product. I've got several of their books, and he said, I knocked on a lady's door. She said, what do you got? And said, I'm selling Bibles, and said, that old woman looked at me and said, do you know Jesus? And he said, I responded, well, and she shut the door. And as she was shutting it, she said, you don't know him, and shut the door. And he said, I went away. And for the next 48 hours, I dealt with that. And he said, I got on my face, and I came to faith in Christ. And I went back and told that lady. You never know when you just get someone to Jesus what's going to happen. Philip said, "We found him." That was his proclamation. He's the man, the Messiah. But come and see, come and see. Yesterday, I was in a place of business in our city, and there was a lady that was waiting on me. It was kind of odd for this lady to be there. It's a place where mostly just men work at this particular job. But this lady was there, and we began to converse. And as I finished buying what I needed, she looked at me on Saturday morning, and she said, "Well, have you got anything exciting planned for the weekend?" I said, "Oh, yes, glory to God, I'm a gospel preacher, and I'm proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. That's what I get to do every Sunday. It's pretty exciting." She says, "You know, I've just moved here, and I've been looking for a church." Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. What happened to Nathaniel? Number one, there was the influence of a friend. But secondly, not only do we see the influence of a friend, we see the revelation of a Savior. Now notice what Jesus did. He saw him coming. And when he saw him, Jesus said in verse 47, "Behold, here's an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." He was saying about Nathaniel, he's an Israelite. He's a Jew. He's there and he sees him and he says, "There's no Jacob in this Israelite. No guile, no deceit." You know, Israel became Israel out of Jacob. Jacob was the deceiver. Jacob Esau, and he was the one that had the vision. And that vision is talked about in verse 51, where he saw the angels coming up and down. But he had another encounter, and it was not just the one where the angels went up and down the ladder. He had another encounter at Peniel, and it was at Peniel that he wrestled all night with an angel and got his hip popped out of socket, and it was there that he limped. And then God said to him, "No longer will you be Jacob, but you will be Israel." And now Jesus looks and said, "Here's an Israelite indeed." Oh, he's a real Jew with no Jacob in. He's not deceitful. This is a good man. But he didn't stop there. See, when he said that, Nathaniel already knew he had prejudice in his heart. And he had prejudice against Nazareth. Therefore, he had prejudice against Jesus. And he's looking and saying, "How can this be him?" And Jesus begins to reveal himself to him. And he says in verse 47, when he asked, "How did you know it?" He said, "Well, before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree." Now get the picture. Under the fig tree. The fig tree is a picture. It was a place where people went to rest. And often they would go there to read the Old Testament. The scroll have there what we would call a quiet time today. I believe that Nathaniel was under the fig tree. I believe he was reading Scripture. I can't prove that. From history, I believe he was reading Scripture. Matter of fact, I believe he was reading about Jacob. I believe he was reading about wrestling, because that's what's in this text. I believe he was wrestling with him right there. And Jesus said, "Before Philip saw you, I saw you under the fig tree. I saw you. I knew you." And Jesus touched his heart. Today, there's a good man sitting in this room. There's a great lady sitting in this room with high moral standard, but you do not know Jesus Christ. Some of you are very religious. You read your Bible, but you've never said yes to Christ. I asked that sweet lady yesterday, I said, "Are you a Christ follower?" And she said to me, "Well, sorta." That was her word. I wanted to ask her if she was married. I saw a diamond on her hand. I was afraid she was going to say, "Sort of." Are you married today? You're not sort of married. You know if you are or not. Amen? You may be sort of faithful, but I'm telling you, you know if you're... I'm telling you, if you've come to Christ, you're not sort of a Christ follower. Either know him... It made me want to just slam the door like that lady, that book salesman, and say, "You don't know him." And
Jesus reveals himself, and that's what he's doing in some of you. I don't understand all I know about salvation. It's an amazing thing. Somebody comes in this service, they sit here, and Jesus does that in their heart. There was a sweet lady came last week, first time somebody brought her, and when I gave the invitation, she came at a second service and gave her life to Christ, and she's waiting, ready to be baptized, and it was... I didn't understand it, but God does the miracle of grace within a person's heart. He opens your eyes and he opens your heart and he draws you and you see the cross and see your own sinfulness. And for some of you, God's doing that very work this very moment, this very morning, and he's touching you, and you need to act on that today. Jesus knows. He calls. He has an eternal plan for your life, and that includes you being right here at Olive Baptist Church when some of you didn't even plan to come, and now God's speaking into your heart today. It's the revelation of Jesus, and that opens up to that third thing I want you to see, and that is the confession of a moral man. What in the world did Nathanael do with this? And here's what he did in verse 49. Read it out loud with me, wouldn't you please? You got it right there in your text. Look at it. If you've got the New American Standard, read verse 49 with me. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Wow. What a confession. Here's how Nathanael got saved. Jesus, Rabbi, Teacher, Lord, Messiah, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael salutes Jesus as Messiah, as Lord, as Savior, as Jesus captures his heart with the good news of the gospel. Nathanael proclaims it. He's the Son of God. Oh, that phrase is used over and over. John the Baptist used it in John 1:34 when he said, "Behold, here he is. He's the Son of God." The disciples said it in Matthew 14 in verse 33 when all the disciples were together. They said Jesus is the very Son of God. Paul would later get saved in Acts 9 in verse 20 in his testimony. He said Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hear me today. Hear me. You will never get saved until you are convinced and confess that Jesus is the only God. He's it. You say, "I don't believe that." Then you're lost. You will believe that. The day's coming when you'll understand there's only one God and Jesus is his name, and you'll bow at his feet. So, "Well, Pastor, I'm just not convinced yet." Okay. Just keep coming and listening. Watch God open your heart. Jesus is not one of many ways. He's not one of many gods. He is the only God. He's the only Son of God. He is God made flesh and dwelling among us. He is salvation. It's in a person. And unless that person is in you, you are lost. I care not how good you are. It matters not how much money you've given. It matters not how many times you come to church. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized in this tank or in a catfish pond where you knew every fish on a first name basis. Till you come to have Christ in you, you are lost. And there are many good men that are lost. Many men that are better men than I am that are lost. You've got to come and have him capture your heart and salute him as the very Son of God. He's Lord. But then not only is he the Son of God, he's the King of Israel. And while the Son of God is a phrase used many, many, many times in Scripture, King of Israel is used very infrequently. You do not find it very much where Jesus is called the King of Israel. As a matter of fact, most people who call him the King of Israel are non-believers. Thief on the cross found him as king, proclaimed he was King of Israel. Pilate said he was the King of Israel, but these people were lost. But it's a triumphal entry in John 12:13. Those that saw him said he was the King of Israel. I don't even know if they were saved or not, but they saw him coming and they were worshiping. They said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, he is the King of Israel." And here Nathanael in verse 47 is an Israelite indeed, and he makes his confession, and this Israelite indeed says, "He's called me a true Israelite, and indeed I am, and now this one is the King of Israel, therefore he is my king, and I bow before him, and I crown him, and I glorify him, and I lift him up. He is King Jesus." Now, what do you do with a king? Oh, you have a coronation. You bow before him. You worship him. Have you crowned him? Is he your king? This day you may be a moral person, but if Jesus is not king, you're lost. You may be a Bible reader, but if Jesus is not king, you're lost. You may be a member of Olive Baptist Church, but if Jesus is not king, you're lost. You may be a tither to this church, but if Jesus is not king and you've not professed him and know him, you're lost. Do you know him? Is he the Son of God? Is he your all in all? And is he your king? Your king. Your king. Can you say with O.S.M. Lockridge, yes, he's my king. He's the one that made me, and he's my king. He's the one that got me through the flood. He's my king. He's the one that healed me when I'm sick. He's my king. My friend, if he's your king, you come and you worship at his feet. See, one of these days, you're going to die. And then they're going to call me, or they're going to call some other preacher. And we're going to come to your house, and when I come, I'll have this pen, and I'll have a little black book that I take with me, as I did twice this week. And I'll open the pages, and I'll get some detail. And then I'll ask this question. I'll say, just tell me about, and they'll tell me about you. Let me tell you, friend, if they start talking about Alabama football and fishing and deer hunting and all of that stuff that made you a good man, I'm not your judge. I'm telling you what they ought to say about you first. He loved Jesus with all of his heart. That Christ was his king. And let me tell you, when they tell me that, I got enough. I got enough in my little black book. Now I'll ask about some of that other stuff. But I hate to have to drag that out. On Monday we buried Malcolm Garrett, 97. I took that little black book. One of his grandsons, one of the first things they said to me, said, Pastor, I want to tell you when granddaddy got saved. He told me the little town in Alabama. I'd never even heard of it. I thought I knew every town in Alabama. I didn't know this town. They said it was smaller than Pisgah. I said, well, it just barely does exist then, doesn't it? He said he was sitting next to the window in an old country church at the end of the row, and the sunshine was coming in. The preacher gave the gospel, and he said, sitting right there is where Christ became the Savior of his life. Then he began to tell me all these good things that you do. See, we've got it backwards. Your goodness does not get you to God. It is God that gets you to goodness. It's when you come to Christ, then the real fruit of God's glory and good comes forth out of you, because you've died to self and come to the cross, and you've said, he is the Son of God. He is the King of Israel. Is he your king? Here's what I want you to do. You got a pencil. If you're taking notes, I want you to do this. If you're not taking notes, do it in your mind. All right. If you had a real need, I'm talking about, let's just say that a real hard thing. Your kids were getting divorced, or cancer struck, or your house burnt down, or you got a job change. It's a biggie. I want you to write down, or I want you to think of the names of five people right now that you would have no problem telling that to, that you would ask them to pray for you. Just write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. John, Job, Mary. Just write those five names down right there on your notes. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right down at the bottom. You're taking notes. Or in your mind, if you're just write down, I could ask them to pray for me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Amen. I'd ask them to pray. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, right over next to that list was easy to make. Now, I want you to make a list of five people. Write down the list of five people right next to that. That on September 8th, you would have no trouble. You've already built a relationship. You know they are lost and they need Christ, and you could work to get them to come to Olive on September 8th. Write those five names down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you're not taking notes, just write it down in your mind.
One, two, three, four, five. Which list was harder to make? Second list. See, when we get to heaven, you're going to meet Nathaniel, the gift of God. He's going to be there. He's not a big player in Scripture, but he's there a few times. And the first thing old Nathaniel's going to do when we get there, he's going to take you down Glory Avenue and say, well, here's the Lord Jesus. He's high and lifted up. But right after that, he's going to walk over there and he's going to put his arm around this guy. And he's going to say, Jesus got me here, but this is Philip. Philip made the introduction. And I don't have a greater friend in all the world than Philip. You study Philip's life, he wasn't much. I'm just telling you, he was the least of the least. I mean, you find him, he didn't even believe half the time. Thomas gets the bad rap, but I'm telling you, Philip's not far behind him. But he had enough sense to get Nathaniel to the feet of Jesus. How about you? You got a list? Asking people, now if you got a list that you can bring somebody? Say, Pastor, I can't bring anybody because I've never been there myself. Oh, have we got good news for you today. You know him today. These folks want you to come today and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to give an invitation in a moment. Brother Leo is going to sing, and I'm going to be right here, and some of our other staffers will be here. When we sing this song, this invitation, I'm going to ask you that, but you're a good man. Come to Christ today. You're a great lady, a moral lady. I want you to come unto Christ. You're here today and you've never joined the church, but you're saved. I want you to come and move your membership. I want you to encourage a pastor today. If nobody comes to join this church, would you just get up and come down here and shake my hand and say, Pastor, I'm coming to rejoin today. I want to encourage somebody. I'm just messing with you now, all right? I'm just seeing if you're listening to me. In this invitation, I can't encourage you enough. Come, come, come. Did Nathaniel go public? Yes, sir, he went public. And when you know him, it will not embarrass you to go public. He called you, then step out and come. Come, say yes to Christ, yes to his church. As you saw this one baptized today, maybe you've trusted him but never been baptized, and you come and we'll set a time for you to do just that. Some of you may want to come get on your knees and bring those five names and say, Lord. Some of you would say, I don't have one name I could write down. You ought to come ask God to break your heart in the next 7 weeks. That you'd know somebody that you could engage with friendship that needs Christ. The call of God's in this room. Philip said it to Nathaniel, and I say it to you. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see this day. Father, have your way in this invitation time. Spirit of God, favor this group of people in this room, those listening by television, internet, radio. God, touch them. And I pray you draw all of us unto yourself. Give the harvest, I pray, in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.